Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Zion. Kelsey, thank you so much for tinkling those keys. That was awesome. Please take a moment to greet those around you with a handshake, compliment, or a friendly hello. And if you have announcements, please come forward. Just a really quick reminder that the MYF has their Christmas wreaths available today. They will be set up outside. We would love to sell all 50 really quickly. And as I think Serenity's reminded everyone faithfully, it goes towards our youth and also supports a local businesswoman. So you're supporting the community and our youth. Thank you.
Some of you may have noticed the little stars back there in the windows. They're hanging. Yeah, you can look now. It's okay. They are part of our program this year. We are praying for refugees during the Advent candle lighting part, which you'll see later. And the idea behind the stars is each one of those stars has one of the countries where they're currently using refugee kits from MCC, and there are two stars to every star. So if you peel off the yellow one and there's a couple of pink ones, it's a sticky note. And you can take that one home and put it up in your home so that you can remember to pray for that particular country. And if you go online to mcc.com, you can read more about what they're doing and why we're sending refugee kits to that particular place.
Good morning. Just wanted to highlight that today's the last day if you want to sign up for rolls for refugees, cinnamon rolls. They'll be in the kitchen for you next Sunday after service if you order today. I'll be taking that down after church, the sign-up sheet. So if you, for some reason, miss that, there's always a backup plan. So you can call me, email me. I think that's in the bulletin. Or go to rollsforrefugees.com. And all that money that you provide goes to displaced people, families just like you and me, living in Syria and Iraq. So thank you so much for all your support. Love you guys.
Two things also unique to the Advent season that we are entering. One is that during worship we will take one children's choice of song during the service. So children, be thinking about that. But I suppose we should also say that by children, we're talking up to age 10. So up to age 10, and we'll go with whoever has it first. Also, you'll find in this bulletin and in subsequent bulletins throughout this season a suggested devotional guide. These are the scriptures that I'll be reading and thinking about and some questions, as I've done in previous years past. If you have some other devotional program you work with, that's great. This is not anything that I'm saying is obligatory, but just simply an offering for keeping the season special, among other possibilities, if you're looking for such. Thanks.
This morning is our first Sunday of Advent. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning coming.
During this time, leading up to Christmas, we eagerly anticipate the coming birth of Christ. And it also is a time to eagerly anticipate the second coming of Christ, when we believe Jesus will come back to gather his followers to himself. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for this season that is upon us and for everything that we are eagerly anticipating. Thank you for your presence with us where two or three are gathered in your name. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We praise you and want to give all the honor and the glory to Jesus, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Stan and Bonnie, if you want to come up for the candle lighting. This is the candle of peace from Isaiah chapter 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem.
In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it.
Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths."
For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
For those living in the paths of bombs and bullets, for those who food, clothing, and schools have been taken and exchanged for tanks and fighter jets, for those who crouch or flee in fear, especially for the children who pay the price for the injustices of others, we pray.
May some sacrifice of our prayers, our time, and our prosperity lift some of their burden of fear and restore some measure of security, we pray.
In their name and in the name of the one who became flesh and tented as a refugee among us, we light this candle of peace.
O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
I'll invite you to stand as we sing, if you want, in the Purple Book, number one.
Praise the Lord.
And now in the blue hymnal, 178. A few pages over, Hark the Glad Sound, 184. You may be seated.
Will the ushers please come forward? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all the bountiful blessings you have given us and continue to give us each day. Please use these tithes and offerings to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Will the children please come forward?
All right, come along. You can sit a little closer if you like. I'm going to talk about a lion again today, but... No, the lion is not going to make a fire in the forest and cook the wildebeest. There's no wildebeest in today's story. But can you think of something that you would... consider scary? Trappers would be scary. Yeah. Anything else that's scary? Traps? Bears. That's right. Bears would be scary. How about you? And lions. Okay. And lions? I'd say lions too. Okay. And tigers would be scary too. All right. In just a little bit, your cheetahs would be, wow, people really know their wild cats. That's great. In just a little bit, you're going to hear about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And before she had baby Jesus, an angel appeared to her and said, Mary, you have found great favor in God's sight. And you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And the Bible tells us that she was scared. Why do you think she'd be so scared about this? Well, I don't think that was it. Let's see. Are any of you bigger brothers or sisters? Do you have any of you here have little brothers or sisters younger than you? Okay. So when you heard that you were going to become a bigger brother or a bigger sister and you're going to have a little brother or a little sister, were you happy or scared or how did you feel? Oh, well, I won't repeat that, okay? All right. Well, Mary was scared for a couple of reasons. I think one of them was that she saw an angel. There was an angel in front of her. And sometimes when people in the Bible see angels, they're actually kind of scared. Yeah, they want to faint because this angel is so holy and comes right from the presence of God. And what's God going to ask of me? I think another reason she was scared was, I'm not married yet. And what is my family going to think? And what's this mean? I'm going to have a baby who's the Savior of the world. She had no idea. So what have you found helpful for facing something that's scary? Have you found anything helpful?
A cougar.
Okay, a cougar helps you face what's scary? If you got a cougar with you, I guess that's scarier than some other things. Okay, that would be good.
A lion in your house.
If you had a lion in your house, would that keep scary things out? Okay. What? Your dog, to have your dog with you. Yeah, I think that's very good. What do you think? Okay, I'm sorry, one at a time. What'd you say?
For a cheetah to come to you.
And so if you had a cheetah in your house, would that keep scarier things away?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, I hadn't thought of that. Of course, I'd be afraid of having to feed them all the time. Yes. What?
Wait, cheetahs are scary.
I'm sorry, what's it? Bears are scary. Well, let me tell you about how a young woman from Ethiopia faced her fears. Ethiopia is in Africa. And her mother, when she was about like 7 or 8 years old, died. She was very sad about that. And when she was about 10 years old, her father remarried and had another wife. But this little girl, this young girl, could not seem to get close to this new, her father's new wife would be kind of like her mother. She needed like a new mother. But they just weren't talking very much. So she went to her grandfather and asked, how can I get close to this person? She's kind of scary. She's kind of quiet. I don't know what to think. And grandfather said, when you can bring me a hair from the tail of a lion, then you'll know the answer to that question. Right. She's got to go get a hair from the tail of a lion. Yes. You could shoot it, that's right. But she didn't have a gun. I think the point was, well, let's see where you say it this way. When you can bring me the hair from the tail of a living lion, then you'll know the answer. So she thought and she thought and she thought and she thought. You could trap its leg, that's right. But let me tell you what she came up with. And by the way, no one would ever tell you to do that. That's not an idea, not a good idea, but it works somehow for the story. So what she did was she took a little piece of meat from the dinner, and she went over to where there was a lion's den. It's kind of like a cave in the side of the hill. And when she got up fairly close to it, she smelled, is the lion in there? And it's like, yeah, I can smell his bad breath. And she could hear as the lion was growling. So she took the meat and she tossed it in the cave and she ran away. And then the next day she came with another piece of meat from her dinner that she didn't eat. And she got a little bit closer to the cave and, oh yeah, I can smell the lion. And she could hear the lion in there. So she tossed the meat in and she ran away. And every day she took a little bit of meat from her dinner and got a little closer and a little closer and a little closer to the cave. And she'd throw the meat in, and she could hear the lion smacking his lips and eating it. And he seemed to be very happy. Until one day she came and she stepped just inside the cave, and she could see the lion's eyes glowing in the dark. And she could hear it and smelled. Oh, and she tossed the meat in, and she ran out. Each day she got a little closer and closer to the lion. And as she got really close, you know what she heard? Instead of, she heard purr, this deep, loud purr, like the lion was happy that she came with a piece of meat, and she tossed it the piece of meat. And after about 2 weeks of doing that, she tossed the meat to the lion, and the lion was purring, and he reached down and eat the meat, and she just reached for his tail and plucked a little hair and then ran out. And when she went to see your grandfather, she said, "Here's the tail, a hair from the tail of the lion." And so he said, "So now do you know how to get close to your dad's wife, your new mother?" And she said, "Little by little with kindness, right?" And grandfather said, "Yes." And so that's how I deal with my fears too. Little by little, getting closer and closer, doing the little bit that I can, and finding it's usually okay. It's usually okay, and I can do a little more. I have not walked up to a lion before, except at the zoo, and he's on one cage, side of the cage, and I'm on the other. But I have sat on a beach, on a big rock over a beach, and I had a bear walk right under me one time. And he walked up the hill, and I didn't say anything. I was just quiet, and I watched him, and he went on, and he didn't bother. It was a black bear, fortunately. Yeah. Well, let's pray, okay? Dear God, you tell us, fear not, because you are with us. And we pray, oh God, that you continue to give us that courage that comes out of love to do the little bit that we can. Thank you for these children, and take them by the hand and let them know that whatever comes up, you're always with them, and they can take one step every day with you. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats now.
Matthew,
huh?
How will you get those ordinance back?
Well, you know, yeah, as a matter of fact, in just a little bit, we're going to push the button. This thing will go up, and you can see it.
We will now have a mission report about the Vita Feliz Senior Center in Bolivia.
This is a letter from Karen Amstutz. Our sincere thanks for our love offering for Central Vida Feliz. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may each of you receive our greetings from all of the elderly here, as well as the Board of Administration and the administrative team. We ask God's blessing for all of you who have made it possible to continue this labor of service to the elderly year after year. We are eternally thankful for your prayers, your offerings, and your actions towards sustaining this project created to serve God and the elderly community of our town, El Torno. Specifically, we want to thank you for the donation we received from your church. Through Zion Treasury, we received the amount of $2,000 from Lindell Mennonite with a total of $16,200 that was deposited into the Vida Feliz account run by the center's Board of Administration, and will be a huge blessing for paying the salaries of the administrative and technical personnel. A small amount will go towards starting new projects. Also, we affirm our commitment to continue looking for the physical, mental, social, and spiritual needs of the elderly through our basic values of charity and service, respect for self and others, solidarity with those who suffer, and mutual cooperation. During the 23 years since the foundation of Central Vida Feliz, we have succeeded in involving public and private institutions, local churches, students, family groups, and all of whom support the activities at Vida Feliz in their own way. Together with all of you, we form Team Vida Feliz with a solid grounding in our faith in Jesus as our Lord. We give thanks to God and to each of you for helping give us that happy life to our elderly grandparents and grandmas. I will post this in the back bulletin board, along with there's a financial statement that will be alongside that. There's also a text from Karen saying that there's a little bit of unrest in Bolivia, if you haven't been following that. And she's suggesting that perhaps those that were thinking of coming to down to visit, they at least apply for their visas and at least get that going. And then there's a election that's supposedly supposed to be in March, and hopefully things will calm down after that. So if you have any questions, you can contact Carolyn. Thank you.
Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Okay, for all who are wondering, now we get to see the wonderful decorations. One of my father's earliest childhood memories can be dated exactly, precisely to May 10, 1940. That was the day when the German army launched its invasion of Holland, Belgium, and France in the first year of World War II. And my father was just a little over 4 years old then. He, his family, the Suarez, and other relatives were living at the time in a largely East European immigrant community of Poles, Slovaks, Czechs, and Hungarians in the town of Eesden, Belgium, in the extreme northeast corner of that country near the border with Holland and Germany. And it was work in the coal mines of that region that drew these people from Eastern Europe. And when my father, whose name is also Matthew, heard the booming of artillery and the blowing up of houses and other things exploding and the loud, fiery burst of anti-aircraft fire in the sky, he ran out into the street, jumping and twirling for joy, shouting, "Fireworks! Fireworks!" He thought it was a holiday. And just as debris and as hot razor-sharp pieces of shrapnel began flying and falling around him, my grandmother, Elena, we called her Elonka, she's the one who bought me my fiddle, by the way, she ran out into the street to grab my father by the hand and dragged him back indoors, kicking and screaming. And I can just imagine him thinking and screaming, "Ah, Mom, why do you always spoil all my fun?" And once indoors, she pushed my father up against an inside wall and stood behind him, leaning against him, hard enough to keep him from getting loose and running back outside. And that was also to protect my father against any shrapnel or even bullets that might fly inside the house. She was willing to take them in place of her son. See, unlike my father at 4.5 years of age, my grandma, Ilonka, she knew war. She was only a few years older than my father was at the time when World War I brought Russian and Austro-Hungarian troops to fight over her homeland area in the Carpathian Mountains of what's now Slovakia. And my father also began to understand war that day or that week when he picked up a piece of shrapnel that was so sharp it cut his fingers. Sometimes I wonder if my grandmother, Ilonka, if she had not had the love and the courage to brave the flying and falling debris and shrapnel in the street to drag my father back inside the house, would my father and his 10 living biological descendants of 3 generations, myself included, even be here? Would we even exist? And without his mother, would Randy Travis, the country western singer, have survived his youth? According to a song that he sang entitled When Mama Prayed, some of the words are, 17 and wild, I hit the bottle, doing anything I dang well please, burning down life's highway at full throttle, while Mama burned a candle on her knees. Then one night I came home half sober, I saw Mama kneeling in the den. As I listened, she and Jesus talked it over, and I knew my restless days were about to end. When Mama prayed, good things happened. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 feet tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all away when Mama prayed. It isn't like every one of them got answered, but the times they weren't, it seems to me, were rare. You almost felt sorry for the devil, because heaven knows he didn't have a prayer when Mama prayed. And likewise, I wonder sometimes, would we be here worshiping God today without the love, without the courage of a mother in our family of faith and her equally loving and courageous prayer of yes, in effect, to God? Would we have the hope of eternal life, the assurance of salvation, the comfort, communion, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, a vision of the peaceable kingdom if Mary had not said to the angel Gabriel, "Behold the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word." For reasons that I do not entirely understand, God does his work in the world with the participation of our prayers. I don't think that God needs our prayers in order to exercise his power and accomplish his purposes. And yet there's this river of prayer running through the Bible that tells us what God's people have prayed for at every critical juncture of God's work in history, that tells us how important these prayers are and how we might pray them as well and with them. And come the Advent and Christmas seasons, the Bible passages that we read and that we hear often feature the prayers of our fathers and mothers of the faith. Fathers like Zechariah, father to John the Baptist. Fathers like Simeon, the prophet, who was there in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus. And the prayers of our mothers, too, like Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. Anna, the woman prophet in the temple. And, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, what if instead Mary had said to the angel Gabriel, "You talking to me? Just who do you think I am? What makes you think I'm worthy of this or even capable of it? Me having a part in God's plan for the redemption of the world like this? Not my circus, not my monkeys. Talk to the hand." And if that had happened, would God have had a plan B for bringing the Savior of the world into the world? Knowing the answer to that is above my pay grade. Her response, her prayer of yes to God took courage because, for one thing, she was talking to an angel. And do not think about cute and chubby cherubs like what we see in the Hallmark greeting cards. But rather think of a being, a celestial being of pure light and spirit, awesome and terrifying, for the pure breath of uncompromised holiness that accompanies this angel from the throne room of heaven. It also took courage because there would be no hiding Mary's premarital pregnancy from her fiancé, from her family, from her community, from her synagogue. How is she going to explain all that? Some may even wish, heaven forbid, that to take upon themselves the prerogative from the law of Moses to stone her to death. And the angel said nothing about how that was going to work out, nor how she should deal with those kinds of things. You know, in our culture's militaristic mindset, we usually associate courage with war, with fighting, with contest and victory over an adversary or an adversity. And Mary did indeed display tremendous courage, but mostly through a victory over herself and over her own fears. In effect, Mary triumphed through her surrender to the call of God, her surrender of whatever hope she had for her life with Joseph, her surrender of certainty and security over her fate and over her future. And I see courage like that in so many times and places and among people who will never make the news headlines and will never get a Presidential Medal of Freedom or a Congressional Medal of Honor. For example, like mothers who carry through with a pregnancy when there is no father or husband to help, or parents who carry a child to term and raise it even though they know ahead of time that there are genetic issues, or people coming to terms with a dreaded diagnosis, a chronic illness, or even a terminal disease, or parents of children hanging in there when their children are making choices and persisting in behaviors that make a trial of their own lives and of everyone who loves them, and they continue loving them. Or when a moral stand is met with costly blowback, like real estate agents not that long ago, who would often get fired for showing black clients the same homes in the same neighborhoods where they showed the homes to white clients, and then who were then blacklisted by other real estate companies, sometimes even getting their licenses revoked by their states. And if they didn't want to move somewhere where such blockbusting and redlining was illegal, then they had to accept other jobs, lower paying, maybe longer commutes. And so as certain neighborhoods became segregated that way and ghettoized, they were, and the people within them were neglected and exploited. And now you know what happened to much of my old hometown of Toledo and to Detroit, Michigan. And all of those examples exhibit just the kind of courage that Mary showed, in not in triumph and victory over other people, not in contest and conquest over others, but in surrender. In her surrender of security, certainty, status, the surrender of oneself to God and to God's mysterious will and work. And that's why I call Mary's prayer a prayer for all seasons, a prayer for all the seasons of our lives. But there's another thing that I want us to know about Mary's prayer of yes to God. It didn't come out of the blue. Mary's yes to God was made possible by God's yes to Mary. Mary could not have said yes to God if God had not effectively said, especially through that angel Gabriel, yes, highly favored. Yes, I see the motherhood of my son in you. Yes, I see in you the Christ bearer. Yes, I see in you the faith, the hope, and the love to see this through, even though you don't understand where it's all going to come from or where the half of it or what the half of what is going on. And why would I not see such things if I had not cultivated them in you? Yes, beginning with your birth and going through your childhood, your growing up as a devout and a devoted daughter of Israel, of a family and a community that nurtured you in the hope and the holiness of the law and the covenant and the prophets, that taught you the prayers of your mothers like Hannah or like your or of King David, your grandfather many times back. Those are some of the ways in which you, Mary, are, as the angel said, highly favored. Highly favored not only by who you are and what you have done, but highly favored in terms of what I, the Lord, have done for you and what I've encouraged and cultivated in you and to be and to become. Those are some of the ways in which she was highly favored. And God says the same yes, for much the same reasons, to each and every one of us here. And Mary's yes, her prayer of yes to God, is possible because, again, of God's yes to her. And I think that's partly why the theologian Karl Barth could define the Christian faith as the courage to accept that we are accepted. So let's paraphrase that to say that Christian faith is the courage to say yes to the God who says yes to each one of us, whoever we are. And if we can do that, as hard as it is sometimes, in any seasons of our lives, we might pray, "Behold, I am the Lord's servant. May your word for me be fulfilled." Well, don't be surprised. It runs in the family. We get that from our parents in the faith. We get that from our mothers, like Mary. Amen.
In the Sing the Journey, number 13.
Thank you.
So it is the children's choice of song. Do we have a child who would like to request a song? Anybody? Oh, yes. Jesus Loves Me. That's a great one.
Jesus loves me.
Stand to sing and remain standing for the benediction. Hail to the Lord's anointing.
From 1 Peter, chapter 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Go in peace.